from the back of the room, someone goes, "You're no Steve Harvey." Right. And I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment, right?
It's a strange reference right. for the like, situation.
Right. Like, who, like, huh? were you expecting Steve Harvey? 100%.
Well, guys, it finally happened. I'm allowed to talk this episode. I brought in one of my good friends, very, very funny comedian, Brian Simpson. Thank you for coming by, man.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Yeah, this is a good time, man. I got, you know, we text and stuff, and we talk sometimes, but you came into mind, like Christina, she was in Nashville a few weeks ago, and she goes, "Guess who's getting a guest spot tonight? Brian Simpson." I was like, "What?" And I guess you were in town.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Dude, he crushed so hard," which doesn't surprise me because you did it on every time I've seen you too. But yeah, I mean, why were you in Nashville even to begin with?
I was opening for my friend Rosebud Baker. She was recording her hour.
Oh,
and
then cool.
I happened to have a college gig too, like up the ways.
In like Tennessee area?
Yeah, and it was right outside of Nashville. It was crazy. Like normal, you know, they're not always great or whatever.
College gigs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know how sometimes shit, like you think you've pretty much seen it all.
Yeah.
And then some shit happens and you're like, God. So anyway, I'm at the college and it's not set up ideally for comedy because it's in an auditorium.
Okay.
It's like socially distanced. So it's like all the space between people and it's, you know, big ass stage, big loud speaker. And the school went out of their way to make it was great. But the crowd was the worst crowd. They're like these kids, they were giving me nothing.
It's the worst.
Like,
it's
like, the worst. And like, you know how they say the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference.
Yes.
That's what it was. It was like, I would rather them boo me.
Yeah.
But they were just like disinterested. Like,
yeah.
It was almost like they were being forced to be there, right?
It's why it's the only, like, for people not in comedy, usually what happens is in a college, generally speaking, is you get paid more to do a college show than you would, let's say, just a one-off show at a club or something. And then people go like, why? You know, there's a whole reason why. But it's what you think about when you're going, this sucks.
Oh, right. You think about, but I need a check.
Yeah, like I'll get a check though, at least, you know.
But all those things have happened to me before.
Yeah, right?
So anyway,
how many people are there at the show, you think?
I would say it's probably about 40 people in a space that could have fit maybe 300 people.
Okay.
And
just out of the gate. Yeah,
and it's echoey. So it makes the bomb even more.
Oh, you feel it. Yeah.
And so luckily I'm not the headliner, right? I'm doing 25 or something. And I'm about 15 minutes in. I've got nothing the whole time. And finally I just go, you know what? Fuck all of y'all. Fuck you people. You up in here looking at me like you know, I'm not impressed with y'all either. You know what I mean? And that gets a little bit of a laugh, right?
Yeah.
And then from the back of the room, someone goes, "You're no Steve Harvey." Right. And I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment, right?
It's a strange reference for the situation.
Right. Like who, like, were you expecting Steve Harvey? How is that the comedian that you know,
that you're talking about right now?
Right. And I started talking shit to this kid and I'm like, "Yo, who, fuck you, blah, 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 blah." And then I realized, oh, this is the one white kid that goes to this black school. It wasn't a black school, like a HBCU, but it was like, the audience was like 80% black. Right.
Okay.
And this one white kid is talking.
That actually changes a lot of this story.
It does.
Yeah.
Cause then I'm like, kid, you think cause you came to college, now you're getting some black pussy, you just talk shit to people? Right? And I was like, I bet your Millie Rock soggy as hell, right? Millie Rock's a dance, right?
Uh-huh.
Then he stands up and hits the crispiest Millie Rock I ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Right? Gets an uproarious applause, right?
From the crowd.
From the crowd.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's okay, that was impressive, but why, what's up with this? That's extra. Y'all get a little extra on it.
Yeah.
And he gets done his dance and he puts his hand out like this, like as if he's challenging me, like as a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't dance. So I'm like, come up to the stage. Cause I'm like, my only chance is to, cause he's in the back, right? My only chance is to scan him on his way up here so I can roast the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And he gets halfway up the aisle and steps into the light. And then I realize he's retarded. Because his walk is very, you know, the walk, right? And now I've just put myself in the worst, because now it all makes sense. They're going to cheer for everything he does and give me groans for anything I say. And so it was the first time I've ever like really just been defeated by
yeah,
like
yeah.
straight up finishing.
So wait, when he comes in the light, are you like, hey, are you like quiet?
I was like, oh no, why did y'all do this? What did y'all do?
And are the like, kids like, are they
yeah,
like,
yeah, because you know, because you know, the worst thing in the world
yeah.
for any comic is for the crowd to be in on something that you're not.
Oh yeah,
for them to have a joke amongst
oh,
them,
that's, yes.
and it's on you. It's oh, all, oh, then you can't recover from
There's
that.
There's nothing like it, because you know what it feels like. It feels like you are being mocked,
right?
Like I even remember being. I remember doing. This is like, I don't even know if you call it a bringer show, like open mic style, maybe a bringer show, Cat Club, early 2000s. And like, just being on stage doing like, I only had, you know, my 10, 15 minutes, like that's all I had.
Right.
So that's what you would do. And just hearing an audience person go like, huh, like good one, like that shit. And you're like, oh, like feeling mocked by the person, like. That and it's such a small room that like, you know, the other 11 people heard it. You know what I mean? You're just like, God damn. And you try to say something back, but you're also like, I don't even have much.
No,
like, at that
I got
point,
nothing.
I got nothing. But that situation is, it's hard to.
Man, no, but you know what? I'm like, I can't roast this kid. Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
But then I get off stage and I don't know if he wants me to say who he was, but the headliner was like, I was like, hey, man, yeah, you saw the situation. Like, I was stay away from him. He was like, I don't give a fuck. What's wrong with him? I'm a roast. The shit out of this.
Really?
Yeah, man, and he did.
He did? What kind of shit was he saying about it?
You know, I don't know, because I left the room. I was like, I'm defeated. I'm defeated. I left the room, and when I came back, he was doing pretty good. Not like, still, the crowd was still that crowd.
Yeah.
But it was like.
And he was a white kid, though.
Yeah.
And he really could hit that.
And you know what's so fucked up is I saw him. It was like a scene in a movie. I saw him on my way in the university.
Yeah.
Yeah, because his walk is unrecognizable, yeah. right? And I saw him like running across the street with like a clipboard. And I was like, oh, look, they gave the kid like a task. Like it's probably yeah. nothing on that clipboard. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
And I had no idea in a million years that it was him though.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you ain't no Steve Harvey. That's still amazing.
Right, right. Because that's like that autism.
But that means you know you know that he watches fucking Family Feud, for sure.
Or he watches the same Steve Harvey set over and over.
Yeah, on YouTube, just over and over.
Yeah. Man, Steve. You ain't even old enough to have seen Steve Harvey do stand-up.
Like how, I mean, yeah, he's in college.
Kings of Comedy?
I'm telling you, I bet it's Family Feud, man. Because that seems like a special show too,
right,
like something
right,
that like
right.
people could just sit around and be like, "Right, you do? I watched 13 yeah. episodes of Family Feud."
Family Feud's like Easy Jeopardy, like for the watcher.
Yeah, you for get, sure.
You could
yeah.
like, be not that smart and be like, "Eggs."
I can't do. Do you do Jeopardy?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because you have like you'll always kind of surprise me with like your references to like anything. I'm like, this dude has deep knowledge about things I don't expect.
Oh yeah, that's you know what it is. I have deep knowledge about a lot of things that don't matter.
Well, yeah, but it's like, isn't that Jeopardy?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. yeah.
yeah
but does that come from like school or just like personal interests?
No, it comes from like being home alone a lot as a kid and also not being able to leave the house. So not being allowed to leave the house, but being home.
But is that like internet and stuff? Like, are you
searching
stuff?
I didn't have the internet.
Yeah,
but just because that was all that was on TV. Like I was because I was by myself. So
you would watch it.
Yeah, I would stay up late, and it was okay. Jeopardy and Star Trek. I would watch that shit every fucking day.
Are you a Star
day.
Trek fan?
Oh yeah,
hardcore.
Yeah. Well, not hard. I wouldn't say hardcore, but
have you gone to a bigger, gone to bigger, a, like a
I wouldn't go
conference?
To a convention. No. That's too much. I don't love anything that much. I'm not that much of a fan of anything. Like,
well, that's you know, I get the question. I'm sure you've been asked this question. People are like, "Who would you like flip out to meet?" And I'll be like sitting there, and I'll go, I'm like, who would I flip out?
Flip out?
Yeah, or like, yeah, I mean, like, who would you be like, oh my God? Like, you know,
like Beyonce would probably stop. Like, I probably.
There's people who would stop you, right? Yeah, like, you're like,
there's people that I wouldn't approach. I wouldn't approach Beyonce. You know?
No. No. I actually was 10 feet from her working. This is like a number of years ago, working as a site rep. Do you know what a site rep is?
No, what's that?
So there's this there's companies, especially here in Los Angeles, where what they do is they own, but they also represent buildings and properties. And then they're an agency for the building or property to a production. So you, okay. Brian, the producer, go, I want to shoot. I have a scene in a church and I need like a modest residential home. So you call my agency and I go, I got these 10 churches. I got these homes. You know what I mean? I have right, locations.
Right.
And then your company pays me a fee. And then my company sends out a site rep. It's like a person that goes, make sure Brian and his production don't destroy this fucking building, right? And a lot of times it would be like historically preserved buildings. And productions are like, I don't give a fuck. And they just nail shit into the wall. Right.
Like
you know?
When Beyonce did that shit in the Louvre.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there was somebody standing behind them like, don't get too close.
Don't get too close. Right. Exactly. So Beyonce was shooting this movie at a hospital. And or at least they had scenes at the hospital, and there was Daniel Freeman Memorial Hospital in what's it called? Down in what is God damn it! It's here in L.A. Where is that? Inglewood. It's in Inglewood. So we were in Inglewood.
So wait a minute. They shoot hospital scenes in real hospitals?
Well, the thing is, this hospital, when I started working there, was 3/4 shut down. So entire wings were not operating, and then they would have little, like a section. They're not doing like surgery. It's just like some, you know, routine shit over on a smaller wing. But it'd be funny because they're like full-time security guy there, and people would just like shuffle in off the street, and they'd be like, I want to be in a movie. And like security guy would be like, what? And then he'd be like, Tom. He wants to be in the movie. I'm like, I'm not making the movie, man.
Right.
Like but he would just like send people to me. So one time, because it's in Inglewood and there's like, it gets kind of wild there at night.
Right.
A guy got shot and his friends pulled up and just dumped the body at the ER drop off. And we're like, we're not an open hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
Beyonce's here.
Yeah. Yeah. Pick this body up. It's insulting to her.
Right, because that's what I thought you meant at first. Like, they just shut down part of the hospital because of the movie.
No, no. And that'd be hilarious. Hey, man, too many people get sick. But Beyonce's here. Mm. She was shooting this movie, and it was a number of years ago. I mean, like, she was still famous, but it wasn't the, like, world icon, I feel like, right now, you know? Because it was definitely, it had to be over 10 years ago. I mean, she was still super famous. I remember she had a bodyguard that I was like, I don't think I've ever seen a human being this large before in my life, man. Like he was like 6'10", but like 450. Like I was like, this is the biggest man I've ever seen in my life. And she had this crazy modified Escalade that I'd never seen also that I was like, can I look? And they're like from a distance. Like
armored
and like there was like a fucking living room in it. It was pretty crazy.
I'm afraid of being that famous.
That famous doesn't seem that fun.
No.
Because it's only because their life becomes like, what thing was I watching? Oh, I was watching the Tiger thing, the Tiger Woods thing on HBO.
Okay, yeah.
It's phenomenal. And they were going over, because even though I lived through it, they were looking at the footage. You know, when you look back, they're like, when he popped, I think it was in the 96, 97, something like that. When he won 4 majors in a row,
yeah.
And they showed footage of him arriving at tournaments and like trying to walk places, it was complete mayhem,
craziness.
Complete craziness. Like he could not walk anywhere. He couldn't do anything.
He got black people to watch golf.
He got black people to watch golf, yeah. Man. Yeah,
you need to give him the vaccine. I felt fucked up about this, but if I'm being honest, my first thought when he just got in the most recent accident was he got caught cheating again. Because that's all I
thought. Does he have a new lady?
But remember the last time he got in a car accident?
Yeah, yeah.
It was because he was cheating and his wife like hit him with a golf club or something.
She smashed out the windows.
Right. So my first thought when I heard he crashed his car was, oh man, it happened again.
Look at that fucking thing. Yeah, because yeah. is there video or photograph of the old time when she smashed out the windows? Because that was what happened. He like went out of the house and she came out with like a fucking 3-iron and was like smashing out windows.
Right.
Yeah, that was the wife though. Right. Oh yeah, it was. I think that was the vehicle.
It's like. And like he trained his whole life to swing it, but not to dodge one.
Oh, and look at that right there. Yeah, man. Yeah. Tiger Woods' wife, 4. That's what it says there.
Damn.
Jesus. Yeah. And then, yeah, I'm not finished with it. I mean, it's only like a 2-part. I watched the first part and started the second one. But his level of fame is like that Beyonce level of fame where you're like, you can't go.
I don't want places. That. Have you thought of the person though that you would flip out to?
Well, that's the thing is I was trying to think of people I have met and how I reacted. And here's the thing. I never, maybe because like we work in this, I go, you know, it's always cool to meet comedians.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like who are the big, like I've met Chappelle. It was cool. Like yeah. I was like, oh shit. I've met Chris Rock. Chris Rock was a bigger thing to me because his special came out, Bring the Pain came out when I was in high school.
Okay.
Yeah. And like, it's that age where you're like, it's just, you know what I mean? It's like the perfect age. Like it'll always stick with
you. It shaped your adult sense of humor.
It does. It does. And I saw him, you know, it crushed so hard. It reframed my mind on what comedy is. You know what I mean? Like it was like, and it was also, this is pre internet stuff. So it was like, it was an event and then an HBO would replay it all the time. Yeah. So he was like, so when I met him, I couldn't say much. You know, I was like, good to meet you, man. Like,
some people have a presence, man. And it's real.
And then he said, oh, you got a couple specials on Netflix. I was like, yeah.
Oh, this was after you had a couple specials?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know. I'd be like, yeah, you got some too, bro. Like, what am I going to say to him?
Yeah, it's nothing you can say.
You can't really say much. And that's the thing is like, in the moment, I wasn't expecting to meet him. So when I met him, I was like, yeah, you know, it was nice. It's nice to meet you, a big fan. He was like, yeah, I know you got some specials on Netflix. That's cool. I was like, yeah, that's cool. And I didn't. What am I going to say after that?
You
like,
can't say shit.
You still out there joking?
That's why it's important to have to keep your friends that you coming up with.
Yeah.
Because it's lonely up there.
It's lonely up
when
there.
When you get that high, no one can treat you like a normal person.
They don't.
You know, and it's like, oh, that's terrifying to me.
I'll be honest, even at my level of fame, some people treat me so weird.
It's, yeah, man. Yeah.
It's strange. Like sometimes when they do, I'm like, what are you doing? You know?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Dude, people treat me weird because of your level of fame. Motherfuckers will come up and be like, hey, can you give Tom this, I stitched this thing. Like, no.
It's very strange. It's very strange. And that's the thing is when you have a small dose of it, then you look at what an extreme version of it is and you're like, that seems pretty awful. Yeah. Back to who I flipped out about. All right. So, I mean, I think Rock is the sole person in what we do that I was like, I didn't really know what to say. You go to like music, people in music, I've been like, whoa. You know what I mean? Like, cause like I grew up, you know, your biggest influences for music and sports. So like, you know, meeting people, but I go, you know, like the biggest person I can think of in the sports world that from my age and how I grew up would be Michael Jordan. But also like, I feel like I'd be like, oh my God. But then I would just be like, you know,
I'm not a fan of Michael Jordan.
No?
Like as a person. I love watching him play basketball.
Yeah.
But I just, some about him rubs me the wrong way.
What is it about him? Because I've heard people say this too.
Because he, you know what it is like you saw Save the Last Dance. Because he is the embodiment of like this idea that him and his most piece of shit is essential to being a champion. That like because he won and was also an asshole, that being an asshole is necessary.
Permissible, yeah.
Right? And it's like I don't know if that's true. Like it's like people like assume like if he was a little nicer, he would have won less championships.
I think he thinks that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And he perpetuates that. And it's like it's nonsense. Like you, like LeBron. I guess you could say LeBron hasn't won as many championships,
but he's close.
Yeah, he's close, and he's a nice person. Yeah. He's a thoughtful person. So it's like, I've all.
Or like Kobe. Kobe had a great reputation, right? Like, I mean, for being nice. People mostly said he. But here's the difference. I've heard this from Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson has been asked many times, Kobe or Mike? Kobe or Michael? Kobe or Michael? And he said, the difference is Kobe had to beat you at basketball, right? Mm. He had to beat you at basketball. He's a killer. Michael had to beat you at everything. And that's a big distinction. So it's like, right. once you're not on the court, he's like, Kobe's cool. Like, Kobe's fun. Like if it's not basketball related.
Like, Michael Jordan's got a friend who he's like, I bet you I die first.
Yeah.
Shit. You know what I mean?
Like that. Yeah, they're like, Mike is like, fuck you all the time. But I mean, it's something in him, man. Like, he's, you know.
Yeah, I get that. I understand that. And I appreciate that. And maybe that's because I always defend Kanye West the same way, where it's almost
Which is what?
Where it's like, you can't say he's a musical genius and also don't want the rest. Because that's what gets poured into it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So maybe, you know, I accept.
Do you think he's an asshole?
Who, Kanye?
Yeah.
No, but he's a little unstable.
Little?
Right. I mean, he does a lot of crazy shit.
Yeah.
He does a lot of, like, questionable shit. But, I mean, that craziness is the reason why he has the music. Right?
But do you feel, I mean, you're saying, like, I agree with you on that. Like, the crazy, all the shit that he does ends up fueling music in some way. You know, if you're an artist, everything you need to do to create your art is affecting it. But do you then go, I'm good with, like, the wild rants and the, you know what I mean, the crazy shit?
No, like, I'm not saying I'm okay with his rants, but I'm saying I accept the fact that
is,
they come from the same place. Like, yeah. you don't get to have half a person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you almost like sometimes, you know, like, my shit gets political sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And people jump in the comments like, you know, just tell jokes or whatever. Like, that's all I am is jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's the hackiest thing that anyone can say.
Right. But I'm saying you get it all. You got to accept it all. So maybe I'm being a hypocrite then.
No, I mean, I get it. The worst is when you're like, I'd like to talk about a topic, and someone's like, but you're a comedian. And you're like, but this is interesting to me.
Right. Yeah. And that doesn't mean I don't know shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, just stay. And then the best is that they're like, stay in your lane and tell jokes. And you're like, what do you do? I drive trucks. Like, why don't you fucking stay in your lane?
Right.
You know,
right.
Stay in the right lane, motherfucker.
Well, stay on my mentions. You know?
Yeah.
I think if I just had to, like, gun to my head, pick somebody that I would have to be, or they would have to be alive.
No, go ahead. Anyone.
Okay. If they have to be alive, I'm going to say Michelle Obama.
You would flip out?
She's fascinating to me.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I don't know why her more so than Barack, but.
I mean, I think there are millions of people that feel that way.
Oh, yeah. Because Michelle Obama is beloved in the way that Barack Obama is, you know?
Yeah. I mean.
He's appreciated and liked. And
I don't know that you can orchestrate. In other words, I don't think you can go, I would like to mimic what she's done to create that adoration. It's just who she is and how, like, she just, right? Like, she was, first lady. I mean, her, you know, she had, like, objectives or, you know, they always pick, like, a thing, and it was, like, health and, right?
Right, she was trying to get kids to stop eating bullshit.
Yeah, and isn't, I want to say, I don't know if it actually came to fruition, but I remember reading about this, that, you know, when you pick up labels of food and it says, like, protein, carbs.
Right.
Well, it also says the percent of daily value that is, right? So, in other words, if it says, you know, I'm just paraphrasing here, but it's like, if it says, like, you know, 20 grams of protein in this thing, you look to the right and it'll say, like, that's 18% of the daily value based on a 2,000 calorie diet. It's
right,
a generic
right.
thing. But next to sugar, it'll say the grams, but it never says the percent of daily value. And that is done on purpose by the sugar industry, the sugar lobby. They lobby to not have that included because they don't want it to say 12,000% on everything. Okay.
Right.
So that people are like, what the fuck am I eating?
Yeah,
right. So there's a reason that the percentage isn't there, and it's because of the sugar industry.
I didn't notice that.
Michelle Obama pushed and was like, fuck the sugar lobby. We are adding this. And I remember seeing that there was a date that they would be adding the percentage. And it was from her. Like, she was the one lobbying for
Did
that.
Did it happen?
I don't know.
Oh, see, because they probably lobbied it to be like 2080. Like,
right, probably.
Like when the Kennedy shit comes out.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's now there, but it was. See, what I would Google, I might go like sugar, percentage of daily Michelle Obama sugar law.
Gets her way. Oh, wow.
Hey,
the dove is Googling.
But wouldn't you click the link now? Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Open that. Make that bigger.
Yeah, one more zoom.
One more zoom in. Okay. Scroll down. Yep. Two, they see vehemently opposed by the food companies. The impact of the rule, blah, blah, blah. Now, does it, can you scroll and see if it says like when it takes effect? Because I don't know if that actually has happened.
No, because I didn't even know that it hadn't, that it was a thing.
Yeah. I remember this, man. This was like a big deal. And they said that, you know, the sugar industry and the lobbyists in that field were like, they were willing to pour billions to keep it off. They're like, do not put that on.
That's, you know, that's crazy. Cause I know that if you're diabetic, you only can have 60 grams of carbs per meal.
Okay.
Right. And sugar, like pure sugar, that's probably like a quarter teaspoon of sugar.
Here we go. And there's like a nutrition, like, see, okay. So yeah. Updated daily values.
Wow. How did I never notice that?
Yeah. God see, damn. And then it says includes 10 added grams of sugar and then 20% next to it. So they're telling you now. It's saying to you,
oh,
you know, this is the percentage that you're having here.
10 grams is 20%.
See what I mean? And you pick up something like maple syrup and you'll be like, 93 grams of sugar in a serving.
But then you know how they slide on that though is when they hit you with
the serving.
The servings,
yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, well, serving, it's supposed to be three drops, man.
So there's 1 billion servings
of this in here. Yeah. So Michelle Obama, that's a good one. I kind of flipped out meeting. Well, I definitely flipped out meeting Mike Tyson, but that was also, it wasn't like, oh, yeah. Oh my God, I hope I meet Mike Tyson one day. It was just like, holy shit, Mike Tyson's sitting next to me. Right. And it's like,
yeah,
that's like a,
that was nervous. I saw that. That was on Rogan, right?
I mean, I told it in a special. I told it on Conan. You know, I've told this. I probably told it on Rogan.
I would be afraid. That's something I don't fuck with about the, like anybody that's not old enough to be afraid of Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Like, I don't respect your opinion. About
yeah.
That dude was terrifying, dude.
And by the way, and the switch can get switched.
Oh, yeah. I seen it happen. Yeah. You know that video of him on the...
with Ocho Cinco in the Super Bowl thing?
No. What's that?
Put your headphones on. Okay. But yeah, Mike Tyson, Ocho Cinco, Super Bowl. It's really small and subtle, but you'll appreciate it. Because it's you'll definitely appreciate this.
All right.
It's him walking into like a green room. Yeah. It's like at the Super Bowl. So I would, no. Nope. Try that top one there. The top one. Yep. Right here. Start it over and turn the volume all the way up. Are your volume good?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
Just watch Mike. We might have watched it a few times. Make it big, please. Full screen. Watch Mike.
That's Tyson right there in the Flurry jersey?
No, he's in the front. That's Ocho Cinco. He defused that real. Ocho Cinco defused that real.
Whoa.
Start over. Listen, Joe.
What's up, dude? You good? You good to see you?
Bro,
because like when he said that to you, you doing with that?
Bro, I would throw my phone,
yeah, like
as far away from me as possible.
Yeah,
because man, even now you seen him hitting the bag when he was getting ready for
at 53. Yeah, man.
Jesus, no, Man, that's scary as fuck. I know that cameraman was shook.
Oh, like, for sure.
His heart skipped
for
a beat. Sure,
man.
No shit.
Yeah.
I was talking about the one where the reporter like brought up the rape.
Oh my God, I've seen that. That was in Toronto, and that shit. That guy was like, You met the mayor, and then, you know, you're also a criminal, a convicted rapist. And he's like, well, I think you're a piece of shit. And then the guy's like, we're on the TV right now. He goes, I don't give a fuck because you're a rat piece of shit. And that guy for sure shit his pants. That guy knew he was that guy knew he could die in that moment.
It was almost like he thought that the rules.
We don't have headphones on.
I'm just showing it to you.
Okay.
He thought that like the rules would protect him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, bruh, he's a savage.
Yeah.
Like he was bred, like he's the closest thing we have to like, you know, those old martial arts movies where a master raises people in the mountains.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the living version of that. We're like,
sure.
He got found on the street and raised to be a fucking destroyer.
He was robbing adult men at 13.
Yeah.
12 like, and 13.
Nah, bro, I'm not bringing up shit. I don't care what the ratings are.
No, nothing. No way. The fact that guy felt comfortable saying that is what's crazy. Like, and then when he sits there, I'm going to ask him about that. Like, yeah, what the fuck?
What are you doing? There ain't no security in here that could do nothing about
that. Yeah, man.
Like, what are you doing?
I remember twice I've had comedy shows with like enormous dudes who like one time these guys were just acting just out of line in the audience. And they were huge. And then after,
were they Samoan?
No, they were black dudes, but they had on like Nation of Islam suits. You know what I mean? And they were like, they looked like power lifters, like broad, not bodybuilder muscles. Like I bench 600 kind of shit. Like, just they look like, you know, offensive linemen, you know, just enormous guy. And they were just sitting there stone faced and they would talk when there was like lulls. Like they would just talk to each other. The kind of thing that most clubs would be like, hey, can you guys give that up? No one ever approached. Right. And when they left, like when the show was over and they left, I looked at the guy because, you know, it's the security guy. He was like, yeah, I was never going to go with that. And I was like, yeah, dude.
Bro, you know what? I hate that. I was for my first 4 years in comedy, I was the security guy at the Madhouse in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget, it was a you know Mark Christopher Lawrence?
Why do I know that name? I don't know.
He's been in the game for a long time. Funny guy. He works clean, though. You know, and he don't have like offensive stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but I remember one time he was just in the middle of his set, just giant motherfucker stood up. This dude had to be like 6'5", maybe 320. You know, like you could tell he used to be something. He used to be a fighter or linebacker or something. So. He was big as fuck. He was old though, but that don't mean shit.
Yeah.
Right. And he stood up and he just had a problem with Mark Christopher Lawrence. And I'm the security person. So I'm like, sir, you know, please calm down. He's like, I ain't fucking calming down, blah, blah, blah. And what I hate is when comics on the stage talk shit to the person that I'm standing in front of.
Yeah.
I'm trying to defuse the situation and get them to leave.
He's trying to escalate it. But he
didn't do that.
Yeah.
But the other people in the club, like all the male servers and other comics and shit, thought, oh,
Brian's gonna fuck you up, man.
No. Yeah. They all came rushing over and like surrounded the guy. And I'm like, no, don't do that either, because when you surround somebody, they get more aggressive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this, he was fucked up. He was bigger than all of us. He could have probably killed two of us before anybody did anything about it. And I'm standing in front of him. And seriously, he lost it a little bit and started to swing at me. And two of them grabbed one of his arms. And he was still moving. You know, he had two people on this arm and was still moving and reached for me again. And he grabbed me. So he had two people on this arm. And then he grabbed me with that arm. And was hugging me like this.
Holy shit, man.
And then his wife. So this guy was, he had to be, I'm a guess, if I was guessing, he's probably like late 50s.
Wow.
And his wife, now none of us could do shit with him. His wife jumps up and puts him in a headlock.
His wife?
His wife jumps up and wraps around his head and comes down and walks outside with him.
And you know that she's like, this is what works. This is what I do with him.
Yeah, she must have done it a whole bunch of times.
She knew
exactly the move, and I don't know if he could tell by scent or whatever that it was her.
Because
obviously he could have broken her in half.
Sure.
But he let her put the strength on him, thank God.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah, but that's happened to me a whole bunch of times. But most of the time, the comic will start talking shit because, I, you know, they have the advantage. I don't know what it is. But it's like, don't talk shit to people when I'm trying to leave.
That's fucking terrible. I love that the wife was like, this is how I get them to come. That's like someone who knows how their dog is. You know what I mean? You just gotta like make a face at him.
It's like, why are you getting this man drunk? Like, he clearly needs therapy or something.
Oh yeah.
He was triggered by something. You ever had that happen with like someone's triggered by something that's like mundane?
Super mundane. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had people in the crowd just be like, fuck you for no reason.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Like, what's going on? Fuck you.
I've done things where people go, like, you really offended me today. I'm like, with what? Like, they you know, like, you just don't know. And I don't know. I mean, right. I had a guy one time, speaking of huge guys, just after the show, come into the green room. And the green room had security outside. And I was like, and then when I look, he's like 6'7".
Oh,
and
right.
300. He goes, I just wanted to meet you to have a beer. And behind me, they're like,
yeah, it wasn't nothing we could do.
Yeah. So like, he just opened the door. I'm like, okay.
Did you have that beer?
Fuck. I was just like, well, I have, because he was like, let me go buy you a beer. I go, they give me beer. There's beer here. And he was like, all right, well, I wanted to meet you, you know? And I was like, okay, well, here I am.
Right.
And then he just kind of stood there. He was fucked up, you know? He was already drunk. So I knew to not be like, get the fuck out of here, you know? I was yeah, man, it's good to meet you.
Right.
All 6'7" of you.
Yeah, I'll meet you out front.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, no.
God, man, I hope that never happened. That's never happened to me, like someone crazy.
Oh, yeah, they'll just come in.
I've seen that happen to other people, though. I had a lady one time say that she, I don't want to say who the comic is, but somebody was headlining, right?
Yeah.
And the first time they headlined, this is also me still working the door to club, the first time they headlined, someone said that they were a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to interview them after the thing. So when she got off stage, they were waiting in the green room, and she was upset about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Obviously. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, I fucked up. She said she was a reporter, blah, blah, blah. So then the next year, when they came back through, it was people at the door saying that they was her family.
I've had this happen.
But she hadn't gave us a list of people or nothing like that. And so I was like, well, look, y'all got to wait till she get here so I can clear it with her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I made them wait. And then it turned out to really be her family.
Oh, it was.
And she was pissed.
At you?
At me, yeah.
For making them wait.
And I tried to tell her, like, last time you were here. But at the time I was new, I didn't know. Like, she don't even remember that shit.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, last time you were here, you were late. You didn't give us a list. You know, so it was one of them things that I just learned the hard way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you do your best, man. I mean, that's actually, you did the right thing.
Yeah.
You did the right thing. And I had the club come back one time and go, hey, your cousin's here. And I go, what cousin? And they're like, you know, big dude. I was like, that doesn't sound like one of my cousins. And they're like, he said he's your cousin. I go, well, I can tell you right now that it's not. So sorry. And they're like, and then they come back. They're like, he's still outside. I'm like, well, fucking tell him to get comfortable.
Yeah, like, what are you, this motherfucker walking with a Ancestry.com printout or something? I don't know that motherfucker.
I don't know him, man.
In fact, even if I did, like, ain't none of my cousins going to be out front without texting me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't want to talk to half of them.
Exactly.
My real cousins.
Yeah, exactly. There's like four cousins I want to hang out with.
Plus, the green room is sacred. Like, dope shit happens in there.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I met when I was in Nashville with Christina, I met Marcus King.
Yeah, dude, he's so fucking cool.
He's the coolest motherfucker. And see, to me, that is the best way to meet a celebrity.
It is.
Is because also, you know, to the young comics listening out there, that's the best way to meet another comedian, right? It's like, don't go up and, hey, I do come. Let them see you. Let it be. Right. So it was like I walked in the green room and I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this nigga was trying to be humble and shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, he's all like, oh no, I'm just a guy. I just do music.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, I know your face though, motherfucker. Because I think I seen it on your mom's house.
Sure.
And anyway, after the show, you know, it was once they saw me do my thing, it was like after the show, he's like, hey man, that was funny as shit, blah, blah, blah. Let's hang out. But see, I didn't realize like that they party. You know what I mean? Like, when he said, let's hang out, I thought he just meant, you know, have a beer or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, these motherfuckers get down. And he was trying to be humble and shit. And I was like, and then this motherfucker was up for a Grammy the next day.
The next day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he's like, you ever heard of those, the Grammys?
Yeah. No, because he tried to play it.
Of course.
And somebody said, you know, country singer. He was like, I'm not a country singer. I'm like, it's Americana. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
He rocks.
So I looked it up, man. His music is good as hell. I forget. Americana is just, it's just soul music when white people sing it.
Is that what it is?
They don't want to call it soul. But it's just soul music with white people.
If they call it soul, then you can be like, there's another thing you took from us.
Yeah. I mean, because it's like if Gary Clark Jr. was singing them same songs, they would just say it was soul music.
Right.
But it's like, it's a white dude. So he's like,
he
it's
rips,
Americana.
Man.
Yeah, he gets down.
He gets, and that voice, you see like when Marcus shaves, you know, he looks 15.
Right. He looks like a child.
Then you see him play and you're like, holy fuck. But then he sings and you're like, what is happening?
Right.
Bro, it's like the voice was given to you.
You know what I told him? I said, you know, you sound like you were raised by a cowboy. And then at 9 years old, he abandoned you in the ghetto. And you were just taken in by a black family.
Yeah.
And like got that struggle like injected into
you. Yeah.
Yeah, he seemed like he got like centuries of pain, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look right. It doesn't look like his voice doesn't match his face.
It's wild. I know. The first time, I mean, I met him on Conan. Because I was doing Conan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was a musical guest. And they were like, you ever seen this guy? And I was like, no. And then he played and sang, and I was like, what? I was blown away.
And then just kicking it with him, like, his story is crazy. He's got a crazier story as I do.
Really?
Yeah. You haven't?
I mean, I don't remember it being, like, your story was wild to me. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, I guess maybe I don't see mine as wild just because it's mine.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. No, yours is pretty wild.
Just the way he just moved to Nashville and blew up out of nowhere. And,
yeah. Man. He's a real talent, man. That guy's a real and the fucking coolest dude. He did our YMH Live music.
Oh yeah, he said it. That ain't come out yet, right?
Well, I think by the time this comes out, it'll be out. Yeah. But I just saw it and
it's incredible,
ridiculous.
Yeah, I seen them do the. They did like a rendition of The Weight, where they like went around the world and mm-hmm. like had a different musician play a different part, and he opens it up. It's like. I know that everybody ain't been in comedy, but come on, lineups are important.
Yeah.
And you can't put that motherfucker first.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like he only singing the very, very first part.
Yeah.
And playing the guitar. And then after when they get to like the first chorus, it's a whole other person in a whole other country that don't sing as good.
Yeah.
That don't play as well.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But see, having him on first got you to stick around to the second person. You
right,
know what I mean?
But then by the time I get to the fifth person, I'm like, where the fuck is Marcus back?
Yeah,
like,
bring Marcus back.
I thought
back,
he was coming
dude.
Back for the hook.
Bring him back, man.
Yeah.
How good did it feel to fucking just go hang out? You know what I mean?
It felt great, man. It felt great. And especially when it's like, like I said, because it's dope that I didn't know who he was before I met him, because I think everybody that's blowing up like that, they're thirsty to have like real interaction, you know what I mean, and like fan, you know, no matter, and there's nothing wrong with being a fan of somebody, but a fan, somebody that's your fan first can't ever do that. They can't ever like treat you like a person.
They can't.
Or somebody that knows how huge of a star you are before they meet you, they can't treat you.
That's why it's so great to meet people that don't like. I forget, maybe you forget that like comedy, podcasting, all this, it is still in a way like niche, you know, like there's a lot of people who are like, I don't watch comedy. I don't know what you're talking, you know, they don't know comedians, and meeting those people socially is kind of the best sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they're like, they don't care and they're not wowed by it. They're not influenced by it. They don't have any interest in it, you know?
Yeah.
And that must be, that's the thing about being super famous, is that at a certain point, there's like nobody who doesn't know, you know?
Yeah. Or like, that's why like Michael Jackson was crazy. I don't know anybody that's been that famous for a long time.
They can't go
that
crazy.
Hasn't like, that's not like crazy. Strange.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And
I believe
that motherfuckers was famous since he was 6 years old.
And it just got more and more and more and more famous.
Like, yeah. And he's never known not famous.
Yeah.
Except in his little bit of period of not famous was just getting the shit beat out of him.
Yeah.
You know, and
that
so
was
it's
it.
Like, yeah, he's a strange motherfucker. Of course he's weird.
Of course he's
like,
weird.
I don't know why people like gave him a lot of shit for that.
But. Well, yeah, because they weren't really appreciating, because people go, oh, people scream when they see you. That must be awesome. You know, like they cry when they meet you. You're like, that's not normal.
No, and you can't go anywhere.
I was with Russell Peters one time, and in a green room, and a woman came in to meet him and started crying, shaking. And I was like, I mean, to actually see it like firsthand with someone that you know, I was like, what the fuck? Because he's super famous.
And how
you know?
Do you react to that?
He was really cool. He handled it the way you, I think should handle it, which like put them at ease and was like, you know, like not being like, I don't know why you're crying. Like he was like, he was like, oh, it's okay. And like, you know, put his hand on her hand.
Of course you're crying. I'm me. Right.
No, he was really nice to her and like put her at ease and then talk to her, you know,
give her a souvenir.
Yeah. Yeah. Do the photo. And it was like really nice and made her like helped her. Like, but she was like, I can't believe I'm here and shaking and crying. And I was like sitting right next to him. And I was like, wow, this like, cause you're used to seeing it like the fan and the famous person at the distance. Oh, that person. But it's not the person sitting next to you.
Oh, yeah.
That they're crying for. And you're like, wow.
There's a video of like, I think Janet Jackson, like pulling somebody on stage.
Uh-huh.
And she's like doing a strip tease, or maybe he is, but he's crying.
He's crying. Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
No,
it's a sexual thing.
Sure,
but it's also that.
It's also that.
So it's like you crying in front of you're like the person you're obsessed with.
Yeah, there you go. Fan loses it. I might be able to see the video of it. Yeah, it's.
I don't know if I know anybody that would make me cry.
Like that to me. So I kept running through in my mind famous people I've met, you know, and I was just the guy right here. He is freaking out, dude. He is freaking
out. Yeah, this dude is fucking hyperventilating, dog. I love you so much.
Is that to his wife in the audience?
No, like, she's got him like tied up.
Oh, this guy's like, if you fucking come.
Right. You better not come. But that's probably like.
He's freaking out, man.
This dude's probably wanted a dominatrix his whole life.
Yeah.
And been denying himself. And then he's forced into this situation and can't handle it.
And there's no better dom than Janet Jackson.
Oh, my God. And she playing it slow. This is like Mike Jackson at the Super Bowl.
So. Right. He's just like, get to it. And she's like, no.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. He's freaking out. Right now, he's telling her how much he loves her. Oh man! Oh God, my God!
Damn, Janet!
You know what she just did right there too, right? With her or her left thigh
went she into his groin. Touched his dick.
Yeah.
She know what's good.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh man! You can't be mad at that guy if he jizzed his pants,
of course
man.
Not.
Come on.
No. Right now, it's definitely dripping.
It's just buckets.
It's leaking out of him right now.
And I mean. Can you imagine the...
I did not know. This is fantastic.
Yeah, man. She get... Like, this dude... She broke this dude. She broke him,
yeah.
Like, he cannot...
He
can't have a normal sexual encounter.
No. He'll never be able to date.
No.
And then when he finally got the therapy and like, got over it, met someone, and then someone was like... That person was like, I saw this video today.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Bro, I would screenshot Janet Jackson's crotch in my face and make that as my Tinder picture.
Yeah.
Be like, hoes, if you ain't on this level, I ain't trying to fuck with you.
I'm not trying to fuck with you.
Yeah, you got to have the cage. You got to have the table and everything to tie me on.
Holy shit. That's fantastic, though, man. Where was that? Did it say where it was? So great.
Damn, he thought... Oh, man, I hate
he did. Oh, man. All right, so who did I met Method Man on a flight.
That would be cool.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
But I was cool, even though, so one, we were on an early morning flight back to LA from Florida, and I said what's up to him. It was a really early, you know, like it goes 6 a.m. flights, but you're right. Like, so I said like, hey man, blah, 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 pass out, sleep the whole flight. One of those flights where you wake up at touchdown, you know, you're like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then, I get my bag out of the overhead, and I turn, and Meth is like, wait, mouth something to me, and I was like, what? And he goes, says it again, and I didn't hear it a second time. So now you can't be like, I'm sorry. Could you say that a third time? So I just went, yeah, man.
And did you ever find out what he said?
Well, then he walks off the plane, and I was like, fuck. Like, I have no idea what he just said to me. And I get my bag. Now I'm like bummed out about it. And as I step off the plane, he's waiting on the jet bridge for me. He's waiting for me.
He's a fan.
He goes, so I was like, I saw him and I was like, hey, he goes, yeah, right? And I go, what? Yeah. And he goes, that dude never shut the fuck up, man, the whole fucking flight. And I was like, fuck that guy. I didn't know what he was talking about. I was like, he's a piece of shit.
Right.
And then we walked and talked the whole way back. And he was talking about this project he was doing with John Singleton. And I couldn't believe I was talking. But
so he had no idea who you were?
I don't know. He didn't say anything about it. So I was just like, maybe he just thought, all right, nice white guy.
Damn.
You know, I don't know.
Did you get the picture? See, I never asked for the picture.
I've asked for the picture a lot. Jill Scott, I got a picture with.
Oh, that would be dope.
We sat next to each other. I have a fucking Soul Plane membership. I flew next to Method Man, Jill Scott, Serena Williams, Mike Tyson, Omarion. I had to throw that in there.
Is this first class?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got an icebox where his heart used to be.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Got pics with, okay, I took a pic with Serena. I took a pic with Jill Scott. I took a picture of Omarion with a blanket over his head because he had a blanket over his head.
And this is all on planes?
All on planes. Mike Tyson came to my show, so I got pictures with him there. Meth, I didn't, because Method Man, I didn't feel like being like, quick pick. I don't know. It just felt fucking so lame.
No Bow Wow? I'm surprised you didn't catch him.
Didn't catch Bow Wow. Who else? I know I'm leaving somebody out. Oh, Bruce and I flew next. And I didn't know him, and that was super fun.
Oh, yeah.
And I ended up telling that story.
He's a legend.
He's a legend, and it was the coolest fucking interaction I'd ever had with somebody who I did. Like, it's how you know, I go, like, I didn't know what to say to Chris Rock. I didn't know what to say. Mm-hmm. And he was really nice. But it was the parking lot of the Comedy Store, and, like, a show had let out, and he was with Questlove, and, you know, I was just so I was like, what's up? And it was quick. But on a flight, you're on the flight, you know, so you have a long time. And Bruce could not have been nicer. Like, nicer and telling stories and, like, a laugher. You know, like, everything you would want when you meet somebody like that.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. He was great.
You know what I think I've done? The store has made me, because I've had a few chances to get pics with celebrities and stuff, but like, you know how it is there, like, when you're a door guy there, or even when you're paid regular there, or whatever, but sometimes you're in the back area,
mm-hmm.
and it's like Chappelle will sometimes be with a fucking entourage of other celebrities.
You know, yes, you, yes, yes.
John Mayer, yeah, come yeah, on, yeah. All the people, and it's like, and when you back there, it's like you ain't back there for that. Like,
no.
They're not back there for fans to be back there, so right. I can't act like a fan.
Right, right, right.
And then also, they all way more accomplished than I am, and so I don't have anything to add to the conversations,
mm-hmm.
so I just, like, I'm in the corner quiet in the motherfucker, or I just leave.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so that I've carried that habit from the store of, like, I don't want to bother you.
Yeah, I feel like, too, the group setting is a weird one. Like, I'm a one-on-one or, like, small group thing.
Yeah.
You know, I told the story about, like, I got, because of Tom Papa, I went to Matt Damon's birthday party, and because Matt Damon was at the Improv, and I was doing a show, and so was Tom Papa.
Okay.
And then afterwards, it's like, you know, you said, like, don't tell someone, like, let them see you, right? So he right. saw me have a good set, and he was like, do you want to come with us to this restaurant? And I was like, okay. And at first, I'm talking to Matt like you would just talk, you know, just normal. But then people start arriving, and a bunch of celebrities, and then I'm just like you're saying, I was just like, I don't know what to add to this, you know? Like,
right, I have nothing.
Yeah, and they're all, and here's the thing, they all know each other a lot more, like more, you know.
Yeah, it's awkward.
So at a certain point, I was like, I'm gonna go. And it was pretty early. I was like, this is enough.
Yeah, I don't belong
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
yeah, it's almost like, you know what it is? It's the same energy as when you like when you're dating someone and you meet their family for the first time.
Yes.
And it's like you're clearly the outsider.
That's a perfect analogy.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's like, but you don't get to leave that.
You don't get to leave that. And then you start seeing the dynamics play out, and you're putting them together in your head. Like,
oh,
you just
yeah.
don't, like, you're like, and then you try to say something to some person, and you get like a what? And you're like, I mean.
Yeah. Like, and another thing too is, like, I don't like to be nosy. Like, I remember the first time, this is when I didn't know you as well. I remember being in it was like one of my first sets in the main room,
mm-hmm.
right after I got passed. And I was in the green room, and me and you were talking, and then Rogan walked in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then y'all started talking about something personal, and I just put my headphones on. I was like,
I see.
Shit ain't none of my business. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, because I know how shit is, like, and I don't want something to get said and then to get out, and it's like, that motherfucker was in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, that shit ain't, I mind my fucking business.
You're thinking, like, three steps ahead on shit like that.
Oh, yeah. Like, nah, but I don't be nosy about none of this. If it's meant for me to know, I'll fucking know it, but I ain't trying to be in no bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a pretty, don't you feel like that's kind of a, for a lot of comics, share that type of mentality about, you know what I mean? Like, I feel, yeah. I identify with what you're saying 100%.
Well, I think it's a certain, like a subspecies of comedy. Because there's people here that aren't, like, you know how like there's people that are fighting for a living, but they ain't fighters.
Right.
Like, they're not built like there's some people that fight because they know how and they make money. But then there's some people that love to fight.
Yes.
And it's like the people that are like built like comics up here.
Yeah.
They think like that.
Right.
But there's a lot of people doing comedy that's in comedy. And, you know, whether they make yeah. whether they're successful or not.
The thing that you're describing about like someone's having a conversation, it's not meant for me. I feel like that's actually a sign of. Now that I think about it, of like someone that just knows how to act. You know what I mean? You're like, do you not know how to act, man?
Because also like, I know myself. Like I know like the dirty, the talking shit and the rumors and that shit is awesome. It's fun.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get sucked into the drama and shit.
Yeah,
But I've made my shit off avoiding all of that.
Right. So. Well, there's comedians though that do things like that someone's opening the show and they bring people to the green room and you're like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Right. Don't do that.
Yeah, but like, how do you not intuitively know that?
Right.
You know, like I've seen that, like where I'm like, huh? The guy brought his family in one time, and I was like, what's this? He's like, my family, and I was like, what?
Yeah, but you know, people have put me on game over the years, though, too. You know what I mean? Just the things I don't know. People check because that's the thing. I think you got to have people around you, that's willing to be like, because not even my comedy itself. I'm so glad I have the people I came up with. That'll be honest with me, you know,
about your comedy,
about my comedy, or just the way I'm acting. Yeah, like my boy Derek Poston, this motherfucker will be like, you know, like I've just murdered something, and I get off stage and I'm thinking about the thing I fucking didn't do, and I walk up to Derek and the first thing he'll say is, "Oh, yeah, you didn't do it that way." But you know what I'm saying? And you need that. You need that person that's gonna be like, "Hey, bro, You don't need to be up in that green room. You know what I mean? Don't bring her. Don't bring that bitch in the green room.
Yeah.
Like you need somebody that's going to tell you. Hey,
you're totally
right. Slipping.
You're totally right.
Because I've learned a lot of lessons that way, or learned from people just warning me about.
But you got to be the type of person that's receptive to it. Because that's another thing you find doing comedy for a while, and like the type of that there are people who are resistant. Like they don't. They're like, no. Like you give advice or something. You know, don't do that. Yeah. And they're immediately. Like combative about it.
I don't give advice to anybody now that I don't fuck with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I used to be like, oh, this is a new comic. Like, hey, you should try this. But then people now, cause now we in this new era of like this petty, like people taking offense to like petty shit.
Yes.
And it's like, I'm not giving you advice cause you're a woman and I don't think you know what you're doing. I'm giving you advice cause you're a new comic and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right, and it's like I'm not like looking down. I'm only giving you advice because I like you, because I think that's awesome, and I think that would be even more awesome
if you did this or that.
Right, but some people take it like, you know, offensive. Like, what are you trying to say? And it's like, whatever, man. Just keep bombing then.
Right.
Take five more months to learn that lesson.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah, because you can't do it for them.
No.
But you find, and I think in what we do. You find, and I guess this probably applies to in life, I shouldn't say even, but we see it in what we do, is that there are people, like, you can't do it for, like, you can't do it for them. You can go like, hey man, as your friend, blah, 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 this isn't working, this. But if the person's just like, nah, I don't wanna, okay,
I can't do it for you. I don't know everything. Like, even like Tom Brady, the GOAT, right? He still got a coach. LeBron James still has a head coach.
Yep.
Even though they say in some of his teams he's running the whole team, but there's still a motherfucker on the sideline that's like, hey, bro, you know, you was in the wrong spot or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you need that. Some people don't get that, like, honest self-assessment is the key to progress. And that's not just comedy. That's everything.
That's life.
And some people can't take it. They take it as an attack.
Yeah, but that is just an insecurity, right? Like, when the people go, like you're just not equipped to take. Like, I feel like that has to, because everybody can remember a time when you couldn't take it, right? Or an incident, like, right? Like, somebody gives you, like, fuck you, man. Like, but that's your own insecurities, I think.
Of course, yeah. It's you. I think also, too, there's a culture now because of, like, the internet of, like, clapback culture.
Yes.
When it's almost like any criticism is hating. You know, any criticism is deserving of, like, a response instead of just absorbing that shit.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But No, I came up with motherfuckers that didn't give a fuck about your feelings. You know what I mean? They would just be like, hey, bro, that wasn't good. You did not do good.
that's a good circle to be in, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not that many people. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, you know, of like the circle of guys that I run with, and you know, we're pretty honest with each other, but I do feel like you don't have to ask for it for life, but you kind of got to ask for it for comedy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
People don't want to, like, you know, shit on your comedy unless you're like, will you?
Right, please. Yeah, because there's a dynamic there for sure that you got to navigate. But that's another thing too. Like what we were talking about the green room stuff is like, it's more. There's more to comedy than just being funny.
Yes.
You also have to be cool, because those are the first two things people say, right? When like, if I've never heard of you before, and I'm like, hey, have you heard of this comic?
Yeah.
And you go, no. I go, funny person, cool.
Yeah. Right? Because, and then you're like, check.
Right. Yep, right. Because those are the those are the most important things. Because you being funny,
or you go like, his comedy's kind of whack, but he's cool as fuck.
Oh, yeah. And you got to be a whole lot of cool to make up for your comedy being whack, but it can make up for it.
It can. It absolutely can. Yeah. And the flip side of it is almost, at a certain age, you're like, I don't want to fuck with it anymore. This dude's hilarious, but he's a fucking asshole or a dipshit. No thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anybody that is funny enough where there's no line they could cross, where I'm like, I ain't fucking with them.
No.
You know? And it's like, I don't know if I've met a comic yet that I would like just actively is my enemy.
Yeah.
But there are people where I'm like, you know my new thing is that I go, what distance do you have to be for me to love you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Cause it's healthy for me to love instead of hate you.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is too close. You know what I mean? Like certain people, I go, I know I can walk in the club and give you a what up from across the parking lot, and that's all we got.
Dude.
And I can love you from there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so it's healthier for me. Is I just go, how far away do you need to be for me to love you? And it helps me not fucking walk around, because I have a lot of anger. You know what I mean? And I don't like to, you know, I don't like to fester in it, because I get mad and it just builds up. So I just like, well, okay, learn to love this motherfucker from over there.
You just gave a life lesson to me too, because I like when you're saying that, it resonated. That is so good. That's so good.
Thank you.
How far do you have to be from? Because you're right. There are some people where you're like, we all know whatever. Well, you know, let's like the fucking 50 people, right? And you're like, these people, like I need to be near, like this, like I have to be around you. Like I want to, you know that. And then there are like degrees of separation. It's like, I could text this dude once a month and it's fine.
Yep.
And you know, this person every week, and this person is a phone call. We were talking about how well do you have to know someone or love someone or be close to someone where you can give an unprompted FaceTime call to. I think that's a tight circle.
Ooh.
Right? That is a tight circle.
Yeah.
Where there's not like, I'm gonna FaceTime you.
And does the time of day matter?
I mean, it should. It should be a factor as well.
Right, but ooh, unprompted.
But like an unprompted FaceTime, I'm like, I can do it to my wife. I could definitely do it to Bert. I can do it to my fam, like siblings, parents. Friend wise, I mean, there's a couple other and a couple cousins and stuff that I'm close with where I wouldn't, but there's, you know. You come down a step from that, and somebody where they could be like, what are you doing?
You know what it is? It, to me, it has to be.
It's like someone just like hitting your window. You're like, yeah. The fuck?
That has to be somebody that I have made it through the other side of some shit with.
Right.
You know, like, like there's been some sacrifice or some risk.
Yeah.
And we made it through together. It is like, and motherfucker, it better be an emergency. Like, what the fuck are you FaceTiming me out the blue?
Yeah.
Yeah. It better be like urgent, like, or something important.
Because otherwise, what kind of heads up do you want on a FaceTime? Like, you at least want someone to check. Is it cool?
Yeah. Text, hey man, are you free to FaceTime?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's like stopping by.
Yeah.
That's like the next level from stopping by.
It is.
Yeah. And you better not stop by my motherfucking house. Yeah. My friends think I'm playing.
Yeah.
They're like, what if it's an emergency? Call the police.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you need? And I've had it since I've been doing comedy. It's only happened twice.
What, an unprompted one?
Yeah, somebody just stopping by.
Oh, stopping by.
Yeah, my friends, you know my policy. Your ass going to be standing on the porch.
Like, they're just knocking on your door? What the fuck are you doing, man?
What's going on? Yeah, like, man, I'm sorry I'm going through it. We'll go through it back at home, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and don't get me wrong, I'm not cold. It's like, I want to help, but it's like,
you don't know what I'm doing right now.
Because I know that if I make the exception right now, you're going to make it a habit.
People like that usually, if somebody has the fucking nerve to just stop by and knock on your door and you are welcoming to it, they're definitely going to do it all the time.
Yeah. And it's like little kindness is like, look, a few months ago, somebody, it was another comic. It was a fan of another comic that was like, I'm going through some hard times, and I hate to do this, but like, if you could help out in any way, blah, blah, blah. So this guy shared it in his stories.
Okay.
And
I thought he just hit you up about it.
No. The comic shared it in his stories and was like, hey, you know, I sent this guy a little bit of money. If y'all want to help him out, you know, here's his Venmo, blah, blah, blah. So I sent the guy $50.
Wow.
Right. And then maybe 3 weeks later, he messages me on Venmo and goes, hey, you helped me out before. I could really use help again.
What?
Like, motherfucker, you out your goddamn mind. And I should have learned because I also watched a lot of Judge Judy growing up.
Yeah.
And I learned that when somebody need money like that, they're usually not going to, like, it's the reason I don't loan my friends money. They're not going to have the money because they having a money problem for a reason. And it's either, whether it's their fault or some other situation, that situation ain't going away with your emergency $50. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it's like, I didn't loan you the money. I'm gonna give it to you. I'm gonna give you as much as I can afford to give you.
Yeah.
And then you don't owe me nothing.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Because friendships end over that shit.
It's yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna give you like half of my rent money and hope you have it by the first. You know
yeah.
What I mean?
No.
So it's like, but no, I'm not gonna keep giving you money because you're gonna keep asking me for money.
And that guy, and the person who you did Venmo hit you, hey man, you helped me up before, is a friend or you don't even know?
No, I don't know if you know this guy. He was a fan of another comedian that shared it.
Did you respond to him or just ignore him?
No, I just ignored him. And then he hit me up again, like a few weeks later.
Same thing.
Yep, same thing. So I blocked him on.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know your situation. Like, and I feel for you, but it's like, I don't know why you're losing all this money and you haven't explained it. You
know I had an old friend, somebody who I did know pretty well, hit me up out of nowhere. I hadn't spoken to in years. Hits me up. He's like happy you're doing well and this and that. And I was like, cool. This is a couple years ago. And I go, oh, thanks. And he goes, yeah, you know, I'm in a real bind right now. And I go, what's up? And he goes, like, if I don't have rent money by the first, I'm going to lose this place. And I did a whole thing, right? And I was like, fuck. And I thought about it. And I was like, I basically was like, you should say no. Because you don't know what I mean? But then I was like, you know, I know this guy. But I go, well, here's the thing, man. I'm in, like, Canada right now. And, you know, I don't have a fucking, like, checkbook. I have an accountant. Like, I have to call my accountant and, like, process it. Like, I just landed in, like, Vancouver, and I'm going to Calgary. And, I don't think I can, like, make this happen real fast. And this was already, like, the 28th. Of the month. And
okay.
And he was like, well, you know, I'm going to lose my spot and you know, all this shit in his life. And I'm like, I don't know. So a couple days go by and then like now it's the first. And now I'm like, fuck, you know, it's like he's lost his place. So he had messaged me again and I go, look, man, I'm sorry. I couldn't make it happen. Like if I were to do it, I wouldn't even be able to get you that money until like the fifth. And he was like, that's cool. That'll still work. Well, I was like, I thought you needed it by the first. He's like, I can hold him off for a few days. And I was like, okay. I sent it to him.
Did he make it a habit?
No.
Oh, okay. That's refreshing.
No, he didn't make it a habit.
Yeah, that's a good friend.
Yeah. I mean, he also like never talked to me again. But,
yeah. Well, like, see, you know. That's another thing. When a motherfucker owe you money, they'll find a reason to stop talking to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's why it wasn't a loan, right? It was just.
Well, it's funny you say that because he did say, can I borrow money? He didn't say, will you give it to me? He's like, I'm borrow it. So I did have it sent out as a loan. Like it said loan on it. But just, I was like, you know, you don't have to. See, I knew he wasn't
going to. See, for me, what I would say is, hey, can you, because I've been in that, I've been fucked, you know, down bad before, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I would just be like, hey, this is how much I need. And if you need me to pay you back, I will do my best, but I can't say when.
That's pretty good.
Because yeah. What I don't want is if I owe you something, I don't want you having to be asking me for it.
Like, yeah.
Because, you know, I hate when a motherfucker owe me and I got to remind them. You know what I mean? Because, like, motherfucker, you remember me when you needed that shit. And now you forgot that you owe me, motherfucker?
Oh, yeah. And I've also had friends that they said they've loaned people money, like, you know, substantial money. And then that person is not only not paying it back, but, like, getting, like, I got a new iPhone, man. Oh, isn't that cool?
I don't play that shit.
And he was like, you haven't even tried to pay me back for the money I loaned you. You're buying, like, expensive shit.
Right. Like, what the fuck?
Fuck, man?
Or you on a payment plan. So now you owe T-Mobile.
Yeah. You're borrowing a lot of shit, man. Borrowing a lot.
If I see you with some new shit on and you owe me something, I will do, if I think I can get away with it, I will destroy that shit. I will. And getting away with it is key. Because
so would you destroy it on the low or like in the face?
On the low. Because look, I study revenge.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite themes. It's one of my favorite ideas.
I love revenge.
It's like comeuppance revenge.
I love revenge.
You talking about that one revenge movie. I think it was called Revenge.
That movie. Something. Did you watch it?
I did.
I mean, that.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
It's hardcore revenge.
It's hardcore revenge.
And I'm all
revenge.
About it. It's like, because I can accept horrible things happening
you
to
pull
you.
Pull up revenge the movie.
If I think you deserve it. Because that's what revenge is. It's some horrible shit's going to happen
it's
to someone
you
that
deserve.
Deserves it.
It's right. Exactly. The real revenge is about deserving it.
Yeah. But the best revenge is about getting away with it. If you don't get away with it, like Count of Monte Cristo shit, you know, if you don't get away with it, it wasn't really revenge.
You're right.
Yeah. So you got to be, you know, Cause listen, I would totally. I was discussing this over the weekend with some old friends of mine, but we were talking about how I lost my train of thought.
Well, we're talking about revenge and about how you're talking with friends about it, and if you can't get away with it, then it's not really revenge. I mean, I love the idea of plotting against someone.
Oh yeah. So right. So I was telling my friend, because it came up where it was like, you know, the old saying that like a good friend will help you bury a body, or a good friend will help you move, but a great friend will help you bury a body. Or something like that.
I don't know that phrase, but
and
I
was
like,
yeah,
it's
some shit like that. Yeah. And I'm like, no, a good friend will help you move, and a great friend will help you move a body, right? Uh-huh. And I'm like, No. See, a great friend will help you plan the murder, but I'm not helping you move a body. If you kill somebody and then call me, that was on you, because I'm your smartest friend probably.
Yeah.
And you called me afterwards, in which case you already caught.
Yeah.
You just trying to send us both to jail. You know
what I'm
saying? Right. Yeah. If you knock on my door with blood on your hands and go, Brown, I lost my shit, I'm like, yo, Tom, is your phone on? Yeah. Then get the fuck off my front step. I'm calling the police right now.
Yeah.
You're already caught. You did the shit stupid.
Yeah.
I'll help you kill somebody if they deserve it. I'll help you plan it anyway. But I'm not going to be a part of some stupid crime.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
It's too many stupid.
Which is like, there's so many stupid. Like, every time you, like, these stories come out, you're like, well, that was dumb. Like, here's how I would have done it, or here's how you should have done it. You know?
You gotta take the long con.
Yes.
Because to me, there's three keys to like ultimate revenge. One is getting away with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two is them knowing that it was you before they die.
Yeah.
Right. And three is profiting from it somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. All kind of Monte Cristo shit, where it's like, it's triumph, getting away with it, and fucking
profit
and letting them know that it was you.
Yeah That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
So, I remember I had a job one time here like 20 years ago, and some shit happened that I was complaining to some of the guys about, and some of the guys that worked as like runners for this company, like running shit around town, like I was a kind of a production type of, like a post person. These guys were runners, were all ex-gang members, right? And so they had, you know, they used to run the streets, and now they were like, you know, a little bit older.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, you befriend them because, like, you know, we work together every day and we're having meals and all this stuff. And I tell them about like this bullshit. And one day after work, the guy was like, you know, if you got like $600 together, I can get a couple guys to go with like pipes and shit and fuck this dude up and fuck up his car. And I was like, I got so excited. I was like,
yes. Really?
And I was like, and then I think what stopped me is that I didn't have $600 to spend.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. My guy.
Yeah, my guy.
Yeah. Because, I love that. Because I left off one point.
Yeah.
It's also, I like the ultimate revenge is, because a lot of people think, you know, they don't have a good imagination. They go, I wish he was dead. But death is not the worst thing that can happen to you.
No.
Right. So like the ultimate revenge is they still alive. The suffering is life is permanent.
Yes.
They know it was you, but they can't prove
it. They can't prove it.
And they can't do a fucking thing about
it.
You know?
Yes.
So it's like that's what I want when I
feel like the guy on stage at the Janet Jackson show right now. That's how excited I am. Yeah.
Right. Because, the only thing stopping me is I ain't have $600.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And also, it's like, these people don't know me, right? They just going to go beat somebody with pipes for $600?
Yeah, dude. I mean, he was saying that he wasn't going to do it. He's like, I still know enough guys that will do it.
Yeah, and that would have never been connected back to you.
No way, dude. It would have been like, they were like, some gang members fucking beat the fuck out of somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, I'm curious. It's like, because there's people... I think I can divide the people in my life into two categories. Like if I got connected to some gruesome kind of revenge thing, there would be one half of people would be like, oh no, Brian, no way Brian was involved in something like that. And there's a small group of people that would be like, it was probably him.
Yeah.
You know, the people that I've had these conversations with.
I feel the same.
Yeah.
As you. I feel like a lot of people would be like, no way.
Yeah.
And then like a small group would be like, he did that shit for sure.
Yeah. Some people were like, Tom?
Yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah, he did it.
Yeah. He did it.
Right. Yeah, man. And there's some people, like I said, though, the hatred is, because I used to have like a list of people where I'm like, if I ever get the chance to get this motherfucker back.
You had a written list?
Yeah. Yeah. I had a written list, and I was like, if I could ever get revenge on this motherfucker,
and then
I started letting people get in my head, and they're like, yo, the best revenge is success. And I'm like, no, the best revenge is revenge.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, the best revenge is success thing is like, it's like half true. It's not real. It's like,
because you can do both. You can get can get successful and get revenge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, it's cool to have some success and like somebody knows it or whatever, and you're like, okay, I did something well.
Right.
But I want to see you suffer. You know what I mean?
That's the whole point.
Yeah, that's the point. It's like I want you to pay a price. You know?
Right. Yeah. And I'm gonna tell you what my button is, like, because I'm sitting here talking all this peace, love, distance shit.
Yeah.
But the hardest thing for me to choke down is somebody fucking with me. Because they think that I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Like a bully. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like somebody where it's like they think that they're holding something over me. Like a job. Like if I've had a boss's like step over the line because they think I need this job, you know? And it's like, and then I slap the shit out of them and they think, you know, because it's like, hey, bro, like, I don't need this job that much. I'll slap the shit out of you. I mean, younger me was like that. Like, bro, I will slap the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that. That's probably... I don't know the statute of limitations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was thinking about, I've threatened two people. Well, I probably shouldn't even say that.
So Let's talk after the show.
All right. What's your Instagram again? Because I want people to even watch.
It's BS Comedian. Yeah,
and it's at BS Comedian.
At BS Comedian, right.
Okay.
And I'm going to be Twitch streaming soon. It's going to be that.
Okay, at BS Comedian. And then, you posted a bit that was so fucking funny. So people should go watch it. See Brian live. He's absolutely hilarious. And dude, this was super fun. Thank you for coming by, man.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. See you guys next time.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.